All right, folks, we're back. It's H10 Hanshin Tigers English News, and I am your host, T-Ray. With me, as always, is...
The Wizzo. I'm here.
Wizzo, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. You know, today at least, doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Well, today, so how was your week then?
Well, my week was okay until Saturday rolled around, and then Saturday, like I posted on the site, I never want to relive that Saturday ever again. Just horrible.
Tell us more.
Well, you know, I work at an air terminal here, so the plane broke. The plane broke because, you know, a tire went flat. Then there's some fluid leaking from the strut, so it had to stay overnight. And you got to find 200 people a place to live. You got to feed 200 people, buses to take people everywhere. And I mean, my 5-hour day turned into like a 13-hour day, and it was just got home at night. And I know we're gonna cover it later, but luckily I got home and hey, the Tigers won. So there's my upside to my nightmare day.
A very small consolation, but yeah, at least it ended on a good note. Wow, that's rough, man. Well, I hope that doesn't happen to you too often.
No. This is the first time in over 3.5 years that it happened to me, so I'm good. But, you know, we'll make it. We'll recover from that and then move on. So how about yours?
Yeah, my week was good, man. I actually went up to Ishikawa Prefecture for a wedding, so it was a nice weekend getaway. It's a little bit cooler up there, and it's just nice to see a different part of Japan I hadn't seen, you know, never seen before, so that was really nice. But actually, more impressive and more exciting for me personally as a Tigers fan is just the way that my son is coming along.
Ooh, growing fast, or is he saying...
Yeah, he's growing fast. I mean, everybody mistakes him for being, you know, 2.5, 3 years old, but he's actually not even 2 yet. But he's starting to speak a lot, and I don't know, some of you might have heard this on the Facebook page or whatever, that the first Tigers-related word that my son knew was WADA. And I thought, oh man, unless I teach him the word disaster, I'm a disaster for him knowing that word first. But actually, since the Hanshin Tigers September magazine features Randy Messenger on the cover, and he's been kind of stealing my magazines, I told him that's Randy, and so he's been able to say Randy. And then after that, there was pictures of Merton in the magazine, so I taught him this says Matt, and he said Matt. And so now every time he sees a picture, he recognizes. In fact, my wife and my son were at Sanomiya Station, and there was a poster of Messenger, and my son pointed to it and said Randy. So he actually, it's not just the magazine, he actually knows who Randy is. And besides that, I've taught him the numbers. And so if I say, hey, what number is Randy? He'll say 5-4. What number is Matt? 9. So he's got the numbers down. And whenever I ask him Wada's number, he doesn't know. So at least he's remembering the important numbers. So that's my big thing of the week. I'm pretty happy about that.
Wow, that's great. And you know, I'm going to plug something. You actually got me a couple posters and a catalog. And so I was pointing to my daughter, and, you know, my daughter's 7. So, you know, I was like, oh, who's this? And she's like, ah, Toritani. And, you know, who's that? I said, that's my boy right there. Oh, so that's the next letter, I guess, or name you need to teach your son is. Oh.
Actually, he's got that one. That was the 4th one that I taught him. So. And so if I reinforce it a little bit, he'll have that one down pretty quick too. So he'll be 1 foreigner away from completing the big 4. Speaking of which, on today's show, a little bit later on, we are going to talk about that 4th foreigner, Mr. Mauro Gomez, and what should the Tigers do about him. The rest of the show is going to run as usual, folks, so stick around. We'll be back with you in just a sec. All right, Wizzo, so this past week, the Tigers played against the Carp, and they played against the Dragons. They were home against the Carp. The first game was rained out, and then they played basically 2 games, and they lost the first one 5-1 and won the second one 5-1. And if you'll recall, in the first game, we faced the Carp ace Kenta Maeda and scored a run in the first inning, and after that, we got nothing off of him, and... our guy, Iwata, kind of self-destructed in, I believe it was the 5th inning, and he allowed a big 3-run blast to Eldred for the 2nd week in a row. And that was it. We had no momentum after that. We lost that one 5-1. And then the next game, we brought Fujinami to the mound. I happened to be at the game right behind home plate, and it was a great game to watch. Merton got three hits, including an RBI single in the first and then a three RBI double later on in the game. He had four RBI. Fukudome had a solo home run, and all they got was just one run in that one. Fujinami was lights out with, again, I think he had 11 or 12 strikeouts in seven innings. He also walked nine guys, which was a little bit alarming at times. He walked the bases loaded once. He walked two guys in a couple other innings and just didn't look like his usual self out there, but he managed to hold them down to one run. So we took one out of two from the Carp. Did you catch those? Did you get any impressions out of those games?
The first one, you know, being rained out. The second one, I was not able to watch that one, but that's terrible. I mean, Kenta Maeda, he is a good pitcher. He's a good pitcher. However, we always make these ace pitchers look so much better. I mean, you know, they just all look like Nolan Ryan or, you know, all these other players out there. It's ridiculous, but
they get their good numbers from us, right?
Yeah. It's like, hey, why do you have such a low ERA? Why? Just play the Tigers, you know? Oh, well, there you have it. But, you know, it's the second game, I did catch some of it. I knew you were at the game. And of course, I couldn't see you, but everybody else was saying they saw you. But Fujinami, man. Jeez, Fujinami. This kid, you said he walked nine people, and he gave up one run the whole game. So, you know, I said it before, this kid recoups so well, and he maintains his focus, and he gets out of jams. This is so great. He's on our team, man. It's awesome. So that's kind of the game I saw in and out of, you know, out of all, you know, both of those games right there.
Yeah. You know, so I'll go back and give my impressions of the first game and then talk about the game I was at. Yeah. In the first game, again, we're not going to get into what a disaster just yet. And this isn't even my what a disaster, but I was really upset with the fact that Wada went again with the sacrifice bunt in the first inning after a leadoff double by Toritani. Now tell me, what is the purpose of a sacrifice bunt in that situation? Besides giving Maeda a free out, as if the guy needs free outs from us. Honestly, you know, you got Uemoto up at the plate, who is one of our better batters when it comes to hitting with runners in scoring position, and you killed him. You know, you sacrificed him to get Toritani over to third. Come on. That was ridiculous, and I really think we should have gone for the jugular in the first inning and tried to get more than one run. And if we had, that might have changed the outcome of the game. So I was really disappointed in Wada. Sorry, I guess it has turned into what a disaster here. Well, but that's really it. That's what the game comes down to, I think. Yes, Maeda pitched well. Mm-hmm. Yes, we didn't get enough hits after the first... Never mind, we didn't get enough hits the whole game in that one. But I really think that it's just it's a momentum killer, and it really doesn't show trust in the players. It really doesn't show an aggressive attitude of, hey, we want to beat these guys. He's kind of saying, we want to get that first run, that all-important first run, and then try to hang on. Yeah, right, like you're going to win a 1-0 game against Maeda. Give me a break. So I was pretty upset.
Yeah, a bunt. You know, I called, I think it was last week's show or maybe the week before, I said, I think the secret to September for us would be Uemoto and bunting. I mean, this kid he was out of action for a while. Yeah, get him up there, man. Let him hit every pitch that comes at him. You know, don't use a bunt, but I guess Wada knows better than we do, right?
No, I don't think he does, but well, no, in all seriousness, folks, let me just add this. You know, I know that Yu Takawada has been with the Tigers for 30 years and he has a whole lot more experience with baseball than I do. So when I say that he's an idiot or when I say that it's a disaster, I'm saying that, you know, as a guy that sits behind a computer screen, not as a baseball expert. I know that he's smarter than I am and that I couldn't do better than him. But it is fun to contemplate. It is fun to criticize. And so that's what we do here.
Yep.
Just for the record, in the second game, in the first inning again, Toritani led off with a single and Uemoto bunted. And then Merton hit Toritani in. So the strategy, quote unquote, worked two games in a row, and it seems to quote unquote work, but all it works for is to get us one run in the first inning. I would love to see us try to get 2 to 3 runs in the first inning. You know, just for once, you know, let's see that happen. Anyways, the second game that I was at was just outstanding. It was awesome to see Merton get his 1,000th hit in NPB, which happened in the first inning. It was his RBI single. He followed that with another single in the third, and then a 3-RBI double in the seventh. So he ended that game with 4 RBI, which was amazing. He was co-hero of the day, along with Fukudome, who hit a solo home run. It was the game-winning run in the sixth inning. And I don't know if I've told you this, Wiz, but I've been to 4 Carp games now in my life, Tiger Carp games, and Fukudome has 3 home runs in those 4 games.
Uh-huh.
Amazing. It's like the guy shows up to play the Carp when I'm there. And I know it's just coincidence, but I can't wait because we're going to be going to a Carp game together in about a week's time, aren't we? Not even a week, 4 days from now.
Yeah, it's going to be Friday, September 11th. You know, it's going to be up there at Koshien. And so, you know, I don't want to get into Fukudome yet, but, you know, the one thing I want to touch on about Merton was it was amazing. One hit. And then what's so great about Japanese baseball is that they actually have a cheerleader come out and hand him a bouquet of flowers. You know, oh, hey, congratulations. Yeah. He took his bow and gave it back, and it's baseball again, you know. So, yeah, that was pretty cool to watch. And so, yeah, this Friday, you know, we'll be up there watching the game, hopefully make it on TV, because I'm going to make a sign. It's going to say Henshin Tigers English News, and I'm going to post that. Like, I'm going to try to get on TV. I'm going to have it on my back, walk around the stadium, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to promote it like it's cool. So,
excellent. Excellent. Yeah, so that's the Carp series. We took 1 out of 2 again, and honestly, I wasn't expecting much better than that because we were scheduled to face Maeda, and also we fortunately dodged the bullet with Chris Johnson on Tuesday. Who knows how that would have turned out, but Nomi had gotten 2 strikeouts when they called the game off altogether. It had already been delayed. So, yeah, we came out of that one 500, and then we went into Nagoya, where we are typically a poor team. We tend to not score runs in Nagoya. We tend to not win games in Nagoya. And I actually predicted last week that we would go 1-2 in the dome there. We ended up going 2-1. Friday, we took 3-0 on the strength of Messenger's 8 shutout innings. Saturday, we took 8-2 on the strength of a 7-run third inning. And then Sunday, we took our 13th shutout of the year. Shutout against, that is. So we didn't score any runs. We lost 5-0. And we'll talk a little bit in detail about that later when we get to our favorite segment of the show. But like I said, Wiz, I missed that whole series except for like one inning that I happened to catch on TV because I was up in Ishikawa. What were your impressions of the series overall?
Well, I did catch some of the Messenger domination. And, you know, I've said it before, when he has no run support, it's difficult for him to, you know, be different, I guess, you know, to be like outside the box. When he got the 3-run lead, oh man, this guy was just tearing him apart. He threw a curveball that, I mean, you could tell, I think his name was Fuji. That dude was just stunned. He couldn't even like do anything. The curve just dropped in there. And those are the kind of things that I think he gets more confident, maybe looser, like, okay, I got a 3-run lead. Let me start, you know, throwing these kind of pitches and doing these kind of things with the team. And it just showed. It was really great to watch him just finally be able to get 3 runs, shut out another team, and not have, you know, a relief come in and completely blow it. I think O came in and saved the game. So we're good on that point. And then I got home to read the last comment, which was we won 8-2, the second game of that series. And then I guess we all stayed at the hotel the last game of the series. So 5-0, you know, against, you know, the Dragons. What's crazy is that team, I don't know, the team is there, but that coach, man, he just like told the pitcher like, as he's walking out there, like, get off the mound. Like, wow, that's professional. So
on Saturday, you mean?
I think it was Saturday. Yeah, he just walked out to the mound. He was just like, get out of here, get out of here. You know, I don't even think the pitcher handed the coach the ball, which they normally do. It was just like, yeah, here, catcher, take the ball. And then, you know, the coach didn't, like, shake his hand. You know, hey, good job. Nothing. They just got him out of there. So, you know, to lose 5-0 after seeing a, you know, coach like that, treating, you know, his own players like that, that's not good on both sides of the ball, but it's bad for us to lose that game 5-0.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I missed it, but again, we went up against Wakabayashi, I believe his name is. No, Wakamatsu, sorry. Who is a young ace or a young up-and-coming ace that the Dragons have. He was named Player of the Month in August. And so once again, you know, we're going up against a good pitcher on another team and we can't get anything going. We got four hits and two walks off of Wakamatsu in seven innings. So that's less than a runner per inning, which is kind of disgraceful. Really unfortunate way to end the series, but I'm glad that we took two out of three there. And honestly, the week could have been worse than it was. We ended up 3-2. I predicted, did I predict 2-4 or 3-3? One or the other. I was wrong anyways. And I think you said 4-2. If I'm not mistaken.
Right. Yeah, I was going to go with 5-1. I said, no, we'll go with 4-2. So I think if we had played that first game, I think we would have a better chance. I think we would have won that first game, but you know how it is. Either way, none of us won. Neither one of us won, you know, so we're not even close.
It's hard to call things when there's games rained out and stuff. But anyways, we'll talk about next week's schedule in a little bit. But right now, let's move into the Player of the Week selection, Wiz. Like I said, we won three, we lost two, and we had some key performers in all the different games. Last week, I think you went with Fujinami because of his dynamite outing. Who you got this week?
I chose Fukudome. And, you know,
all right.
You know, I said it before. The leaders of the teams have to step up when games need to be won. And I said Fukudome is going to be our, you know, he's going to be the one in September to, you know, bring us over the goal line, so to speak. So, you know, Fukudome had a great outing, but it was the hits or the homer that he got that put us ahead. And he's just, I mean, he was an outstanding performer, hit the ball well, got us a couple.
438 on the week.
So he did great. So that's my choice. And that's the one I said where leaders are going to step up and take over. And obviously Fukudome stepped up, but I cannot go without saying Imanadi. I don't know if it's me that's noticed this or what, but Imanadi is destroying the ball recently. I don't know what his average is. You're the stat man. But this guy, every time I see him get up there, he's either getting a base hit or he's getting a double. He's making stuff happen. He's just like ripping the ball, you know, the cover off the ball recently. I don't know what it is, but he's really made me forget about Adai as much as I like Adai.
Yeah, Imanadi is doing very well. You're absolutely right. Actually, I think he's batting somewhere in the air, somewhere along lines of 280, if I'm not mistaken, on the year. He is, 290 on the year. He doesn't have enough at-bats to qualify for the title. Not that he would win it anyways, but he would be ranked second on the team if he had enough at-bats.
Wow.
Behind Merton. So yeah, he has been hitting extremely well. The one knock that I would have on him, and I don't because I agree with you and I personally do like him, is that he doesn't hit for power. His average is 290 and his slugging percentage is 332 because he's got six doubles and no triples and one home run on the year. And all the rest are singles. So yeah, you know, he hits the ball really well. He doesn't get a lot of extra bases, but that's okay. But what impresses me about Imanadi is this. This is a guy that used to be catcher. And I remember at the start of the year him saying, you know, I am not a good base runner. I am not a fast runner. But when I've seen that guy on the base pass, he scampers like he's better than anybody on our team except for maybe Uemoto. I mean, he's running with good speed. He seems to be really light on his feet. I really think he's put a lot of effort into his running game. And I'm impressed with that. So, yeah, I like Imanadi as well. And I didn't even know about Arai anyway, so it's hard to it's easy for me to forget about him. I always was the Imanadi guy anyway, so I'm good there. But I'm not going to go there with my pick of the week. I'm going with my favorite player, Matt Merton. And even though statistically he didn't have the best week, I believe, in fact, that he only hit in two out of the five games. He got three hits in each of those two games. So he ended up with six hits on the week. He batted 316 on the week, had five RBIs. But also just the fact that he collected his career 1,000th hit in NPB is huge. I don't know how many guys have done it in history, but I know that he's probably about 50 hits away from being in the top 10 of all time among foreigners. So if he does come back to the Tigers next year, he's surely going to crack the top 10 all time. He could even make a big dent into going up to maybe top 7 or 6 next year. I don't have those stats in front of me, so I can't say for sure. But Matt Merton, congratulations on your 1,000th hit. Congratulations on just really coming back after a rough first half of the year to have just an incredible second half. You've been, you know, you were co-hero of the night twice this week. So excellent job. I really think that he is deserving. Although so is Fukudome. So that was great. All right, Mike. Let's move into everybody's favorite segment. We call it What a Disaster. do you want to go first or should I take the leadoff role here?
Well, you know, I don't really have a What a Disaster, but one thing I did forget was to say, yes, congratulations. Hopefully he's listening out there. Congratulations to Matt Merton on 1,000 hits, man. That's very impressive. That's amazing. Good for him. What a disaster. And the only thing I could point out is how come this guy cannot keep us on a level where we are able to compete with other teams' aces? I just don't understand how we can go out there, have a 4-game winning streak, face one ace, lose, face the next ace, lose, you know, and then we're on a losing streak and we face their, like, you know, I don't know. They just found this guy from the farm and brought him up here and we lose. That's the problem that I have with WADA. And I guess it is kind of a disaster because of the fact that this team can win games. They cannot beat the other team's aces. And I know you mentioned it before, where we have trouble beating Maeda. We have trouble beating Johnson, Mikolas, who, by the way, I'm never going to make fun of Mikolas again, because that following week was probably one of the worst weeks we ever had. you know, it's just, that's the problem that I have with WADA, is that he's getting us victories, but the problem is that we're not able to get victories against other teams' good pitchers. So that's proof this week, lost to Maeda, you know, so that's my problem that I have with WADA, not necessarily a WADA disaster, but, you know, that's just the problem that I have with him.
Well, in our two losses, we totaled one run, which is absolutely awful. And as I was saying to you before we started recording the show, you know, we've been shut out as a team 13 times this year already, which is terrible. And last year it was 12 all year. So we've already broken last year's total and we've still got 20 games to go. And then the other thing with that is that in the regular season, it's all fine and dandy because you're only going to face the aces about once every 4 games or so. But what's going to happen come playoff time when everybody shortens their rotation down and we're facing aces at least every other game? You know, we're not going to win the series. We're not going to win the climax series, let alone Nippon series. So we got to find a way to manufacture runs against these guys. And I honestly don't think that the sacrifice bunt in the first inning is the way to go. I really think if you're going to do it, you know, you got to go balls to the wall and you just got to try and put as many runs up as you can and not play for one run or play for that little initial lead that you think is going to give you all the momentum, because we've seen that it doesn't work. I mean, Tigers have gotten the first run in a lot of games in the past 30 days of action, and our record is not exactly, you know, it's not like we're 24-6 or anything like that. You know, we're a little bit above 500, but it's not always necessarily because of that first run that we scored. So I'll agree with you on that. I think it's terrible. I think that we need to find a way to beat the aces.
Yeah, one
now,
run.
One run on Maeda. Yeah. And then the week before, we got shut out by Johnson. We scored 2 runs on their closer, and then we got shut out by Maeda, right, in Hiroshima. So, yeah, we're finding no ways whatsoever of scoring against the big guns that the other teams bring to us. So let's see what happens this coming week, because we're probably going to face more aces this week. Anyways, my What a Disaster is a specific play or a specific inning of a game. And for those of you that follow Japanese media, you've probably read about this ad nauseum already anyways, but I'm going to talk about it. Yesterday's game, that's Sunday night's game, or Sunday afternoon's game, pardon me, when we were facing Wakamatsu and we had Iwazaki on the mound for us. It was a really tight game, right? It was 0-0 through 6 innings. And we tried the bunt in the first inning. Uemoto popped it up. Despite that, we still got the bases loaded and didn't get anything out of it. Second inning, we tried the bunt again. Once again, it got us nowhere. The second inning when we tried the bunt, we already had one out in the inning, so the bunt was the second out. So we were basically putting all of our money on Toritani to get a hit, and he didn't. But I'm not faulting Toritani there. He had a great week as well. And then the third bunt attempt was in the seventh inning, and this is the one that I have the biggest complaint about, and so does everybody else. Seventh inning, leadoff hit by Imanari, followed by Hayata Ito bunt. Now that in itself is a bit strange because Ito is a pretty good hitter. I think he's hitting around 270 on the year. So asking a guy like him to bunt this late in the game when you need a run, not a great idea, especially because he's your number seven hitter and you've got your number eight and nine coming next. So I would forgive the bunt in this situation, Wiz, if it's one out and the runner's on second, and instead of Fuji batting, if they bring in a pinch hitter. But guess what they didn't do?
Bring in the pinch hitter.
That's right. They kept Fuji, who's batting .170, in to hit a grounder to shortstop. Okay, so now it's two outs. And in a sense, the game's on the line. I mean, it's 0-0, seventh inning. You've got to score a run here sooner or later, right? And Iwazaki is due up. He's pitched six solid innings. And we know this guy's history. We've talked about it on the show. He tends to have his implosion inning in the sixth or seventh. He dodged it in the sixth. The seventh inning is coming up, right? And what happens? You could bring in a pinch hitter for Iwazaki. You know, we've got enough pinch hitters on this team to go around. We've got Kano. We've got Arai. We've got, for crying out loud, we've got Shunsuke, we've got Yamato, who, I mean, they're not great, but they're better than Iwazaki, right? So what do? We leave Iwazaki in, and he strikes out. Can you imagine how this guy's feeling now, going into the bottom of the seventh? Poor guy, he probably thought in the top of the seventh, oh, they're going to replace me with a pinch hitter, my night's done, and he probably started to let his guard down and relax. Nope, go to the plate, strike out, go back into the game, and, by the way, keep these zeros coming, kid. Yeah, right. So what happened in the bottom of the seventh? All the momentum was in the Dragons' favor. They exploded for two runs. They got three more in the eighth inning, and that was all she wrote. So honestly, I mean, Wada even admitted after the game in a rare moment of self-reflection, he said, yeah, that seventh inning was really the killer for us. Looking back, it probably shouldn't have played out that way. So he admitted it, but that was the Wada disaster of the week. No question, in my opinion, anyways.
Unreal. I mean, as a manager, and he's been a manager for a long time, right?
Well, this is his fourth as the head manager, but he's been a coach for, oh man, 7 years before that, maybe?
Okay, so he's got 11 years invested in baseball, and he should know at some point, yeah, I think it's going to be time to, you know, take this guy out, you know, leave him in. He should know. And what's funny is, like, you just named all those people. I would have put Yamato in instead of him. Hey, pinch hit, you know. I don't know, man. There's so many times we could beat up Wada, and I think we got stuck on beating up Wada more than we are praising him. But, yeah, I mean, he should have made a better call with Iwazaki. Sixth inning. If he made it through the sixth inning, get him out. Hey, you made it safely, you know. But, no, just leave him in one more inning, and that's hurting us. That's ridiculous.
Yep. That's what did it. Well, that's the week. And so let's move on and let's hope that Wada can learn a lesson from that and next week goes better. But let's talk a little bit about the big issue that the Tigers are dealing with in the past couple weeks. Everybody's talking about it. Our cleanup hitter, Mauro Gomez. What do we do about this guy, Wizzo? He, since August 15th, I did a little bit of backpedaling and I checked his stats, and he has batted .167. Since August 15th. That's almost a whole month of batting, like Fuji-level batting. And he's our number four hitter. He's got, I think, three RBI or maybe four. He's got no home runs. And he's struck out a boatload of times. And there seem to be a couple of theories or a couple of camps on this one about what to do with him. One says, send him down to the farm for 10 days, give him a chance to get his swing back, give him a chance to slow down and talk with the coaches and get things back, and then bring him up after 10 days. And the other camp says, no, we need to leave him up on the team. We need to believe in him. He is our guy. He's going to snap out of it. What's your take on this?
You know, I believe in Gomez. You know, Gomez has proven himself before that he's worth the money that you pay him. Now, this year, he is in such a slump. I mean, just a slump, man. It's 167? That's terrible. But he's hurting us right now. I mean, bases loaded, he grounds into a double play. Or bases loaded, he strikes out. He's just not doing what he should be doing as a cleanup hitter. And so they bumped him down in the lineup. You know what I mean? He had one game against Chunichi. I think the second game where he got a couple hits, got a couple RBIs, you know, and I don't know, maybe he's trying too hard. Maybe he's going up there going, man, bases loaded, guy on second and third. You know, I got to really try. And that's why he's trying to, you know, kill the ball. I said that before. He looks like he's trying to kill that ball every time he gets up to the plate. You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe, and I know you and I discussed it during the week. Hey, maybe he should be benched. Look, Gomez, you're not cutting the cake for us, buddy. So have a seat these next couple of games. You know, and maybe it's a reality check, you know, fooling around at practice, maybe. I have no idea. I'm just not sure where his mind's at. So,
well, we know he's fooling around at practice because there was that big, not really scandal, but that big thing in the middle of the week about him flying his drone around at Koshien during practice. So, yeah, he's not exactly getting it done at practice, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if he's flying the drone above home plate to see where these pitches are going, like if it really strikes or outside or something, okay, that's fine. But you know what? No, you got to leave it. You know, I've always grown up where, you know, when you get to work, it's work. When you play, you know, sports, it focuses on sports. It's not on other things, you know? And so, I mean, that just kind of shows why he's hitting 167. You know, he's flying drones around Koshien, which, you know, that's nonsense. But I think he needs to refocus, bench him for a couple games. You know, the team might, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're doing this, but oh well. That's what we got to do right now, I think. You know, before we send him to the farm. That's just my opinion, and I'm going based off, you know, me and you talking this week. So that's what I think we should do next, just bench him.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing that either. Unfortunately, I don't think that they have the nerve to do it against the Giants, which is our next series. But, yeah, you know, they did the same thing to Merton earlier in the year when he was struggling. They sat him on the bench for two games. And I don't necessarily think the benching is what did him good. But honestly, it's just a way to say, hey, look, like if you're not performing, it's not nothing against you. It's not like we're punishing you, but we need run production and we're not getting it from you. And maybe if you sit there and you watch what's happening, or you come in just in a pinch hit situation later in the game, and I would say maybe put Gomez in a pinch hit situation that's not a game breaker. I mean, if you put him in again, like you said, with runners on second and third and two outs, and he's thinking too much and he's trying too hard and he's squeezing the bat too tight and swinging for the fences with every pitch, the results aren't going to be there. So they need to bring him in a more relaxed situation. You know, maybe they pinch hit him for Iwazaki next time Iwazaki's in, something like that, right? And maybe the bases are empty and there's two outs. And you say, hey, go up there and get us a hit. And if you don't, it's no big deal, right? But I think right now he just needs to take a load off, man. I think there's too much on his mind or something. I really don't think that farming him is a good idea, especially this late in the year. You know, if you farm him now, we're talking there's 20 games left in the season. He'll miss half of the games left on tap if you farm them, and that's just not a good good recipe for success the rest of the way. Now, Wiz, I want to take this to the next level and ask you, what do we do next year? Because the Tigers have a club option on Gomez for 2016. Do they take that option or do they let him go? What do you think?
You know, it's funny you asked me this question. I'm kind of surprised because this last week I was driving to my daughter's school and I was sitting there thinking, okay, who do we keep? Okay, We got to keep Messenger. We got to keep Merton. I said Merton's the face of, you know, Hanshin. I would tell I would sit down with Gomez and say, listen, man, we're bringing you back, but for significantly less than what you were getting paid. And here's why. And you show him and you tell him. And if he takes it, then he realizes, yeah, you're right. I didn't play to my potential last year, or I didn't play like I should have. So I would say offer him with less money. And if he decides, hey, look, I'm going to go somewhere else. Hey, we're going to lose Gomez. You know, how much is it going to hurt us? I don't know. It's hurting us now. So, you know, maybe that pain will go away. If the pain continues, then at the end of the year, it'll all go away. But I'd like to see Gomez back, but at less money, you know, Japanese currency and all that stuff. I don't know how they pay him, but I would pay him less. And I don't want to give fractions or anything because I don't know the exact amounts, but just pay him less and offer him and leave it up to him to actually realize him, you know, himself, like, oh yeah, oh boy, did I screw up, and I'll sign this contract for, you know, 80 million yen less or something like that, you know?
Right. Well, I'm going to be the unpopular one here and actually say they let Gomez go. And I'll tell you why. And it's not a very, it's not founded on fact necessarily, but I kind of get the feeling that opposing teams just have the book written on Gomez and they just know how to pitch him now. And if you look at his home run totals, you know, he went from 26 last year to he's got 14 this year, which really is just not enough for a number four hitter, an import that you're expecting to hit for power. He's not getting that done. And if he's not hitting for power, then he's not accomplishing what the team needs him to accomplish. There's no real proof that he's going to be able to come back and return to 2014 numbers in 2016. And I really just think that there's enough talent out there, man, that we could find somebody that's going to hit the long ball more than Gomez has for less money, probably play better defense. And I don't dislike Gomez, but I just think maybe his time with the team could come to an end here. Maybe Perez is the answer for next year, or maybe they just need to scout and find more people for next year. But I think maybe they let him go and they make sure that they treat Messenger and Merton real well. And I'm not saying pay Merton the same amount as this year, because I don't think that fans would be very happy if they were giving him $4.5 million again. Anyways, this is about Gomez. I say let him go. That's my opinion. But I really wish him all the best. And I hope he does really well the rest of the year for the team. And if he does, hey, then maybe I'll change my mind and say they shouldn't let him go. But for now, that's my call. I say new import in 2016.
Yeah, I mean, right now we're walking that line. You know, it's like, you know, 50-50. You know, Gomez stays, maybe it's the same, you know, next year. If he goes, maybe we're better. I mean, we don't know. I tell you, there are plenty. The Pittsburgh Pirates picked up a Korean guy. And Kang is his last name, picked him up from Korea. This dude's amazing. Mm-hmm. So there's always somebody else out there that is just waiting to get that chance. And so, you know, the owners of the Hanshin Tigers, you know, I'm sure there's pretty smart people, and they're going to sit there and go, well, there is this guy over here that says, you know, this, let me see what one chance will do for him. And who knows, maybe they see that one performance and let Gomez go. Like you said, I would like to see him back, like I said, but, you know, who knows? He's got to improve, though, right now. He's got to improve in order for us to win this pennant.
No doubt, no doubt. All right, well, speaking of us winning this pennant, if you haven't checked the standings lately, the Tigers are only a half game up on the Yakult Swallows, and they've got a two-game lead on the Yomiuri Giants. And then after that, there's a bit of a drop-off with the Carp, the Bay Stars, and the Dragons, who aren't really threatening to take the pennant. The Carp have a shot at the playoffs. The Bay Stars and the Dragons do not. Anyways, this week we are hosting two straight series, so six straight games. We've got three against the Giants and three against the Carp. And I will hopefully be attending Thursday and Friday's games, and Friday's game will be with Wizzo, so I'm pretty excited about that, man. We get to meet each other finally, talk in person, and take in a game in person. I'm stoked.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. I'm looking forward to, you know, actual real talk, not just once a week, you know?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So what do you think? What are we going to do this week as the Tigers? What's the record going to be?
Okay, so we play three against the Giants. We play three against the Carp.
Yep.
I think the outcome will be different this time against the Giants. I don't think we're going to be dominated like we were last time. It's at Koshien. That's the good thing for us. It's at Koshien. It's at home. So I think the crowd, especially on Friday, because I'm going to be loud. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm sure the crowd is going to be pretty loud. I think that'll distract the pitchers a little bit. So out of six games, and if we play all six games, I'm going to keep going with my magic number of 4-2. I think we're going to lose probably one to the Giants and most likely one to the Carp. You know, but I think we're going to lose two. I hope it's not two to the Giants because we had that kind of, you know, bad stinging last time we played them. But I'm going to go with 4-2. I think we're going to finally beat the Carp. I think we're going to beat their ace. I'm going to be screaming and yelling. And trust me, if they are not performing like they should, everybody out there in Hanshin Tiger Land, trust me, I will find a way to get to that dugout and I will stick my head in that dugout and yell at them all. I have no problem doing that. Anything to fire these guys up and get them ready to roll again, you know, whatever it takes. So we'll see, but I'm going 4-2 this week. I think we lose one game each, which puts us, you know, at least above 500 against the teams.
Right. Well, they definitely need a good Marine to get them going maybe from time to time. Well, I'm going to actually go 3-3 again this week. Provided all games are played. If not, I'm going to say 3-2. It looks like there is a typhoon that is heading in our general direction, but it may veer off, and it's supposed to weaken as well. So it may not cause any game cancellations, but I'll go 3-3. Against the Giants, it looks like we've got Iwata on Tuesday, Fujinami on Wednesday, and Messenger on Thursday. Possibly. I'll be at the Thursday game. Messenger will be pitching his 1,000th career inning in Nippon Pro Baseball. So it'll be my third straight game of seeing a milestone in person, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
And then against the Carp, I would guess then that we would go with... we'll have Nomi and Iwazaki and then somebody. Maybe Iwata again. I'm not really sure. But I kind of don't feel too good about our chances against the Carp then in those three, because they're going to be bringing possibly Johnson, Kuroda, and one more guy to the mound. So I'm going to say we'll go 2-1 on the Giants and 1-2 on the Carp. I'd love to see us do better at home, and I really hope you're right. I hope it's 4-2, but I'm going to go 3-3. So that's my call. What are your predictions, folks, for the coming week? Send us an email, drop us a comment on the Facebook page, send me a comment on the Twitter. Whatever you'd like to do, just let us know. And also, what is your opinion about Mauro Gomez and what the team should do moving forward, both for this September as well as next season? You can reach us once again on Facebook, Hanshin Tigers English News. If you're not part of the group, join us. You can email us at the following email address, podcast@thehanshintigers.com. Or you can reach me on Twitter, @thehanshintiger. So be sure to send us your comments, your opinions. We would love to hear from you guys, and we'd love to make this a little bit more interactive. So, yeah, go ahead and hit us up. Wizzo, it's been great chatting with you again, and I know we're doing it a day later than usual, but, you know, same thing. It's a day off, so the Tigers have not started their new week, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I know things got kind of shifted to the left this week, you know, like you just said, and we had to do this a week later. I'm bummed out. You said Friday we're gonna have Nomi on the mound, and it's September 11th, and I'm gonna go out there. I'm gonna pull for Nomi. I feel I should give that extra, you know, boost of energy. So I'm gonna cheer a little bit more for Nomi. But
you better cheer for Nomi. Yeah, for sure. Well, folks, all of you out there, have a great week. We are looking forward to an incredible week from the Tigers, and we hope you have a great week as well. Let's hear from you, and we'll talk again in a week's time. Have a good one, folks.
させて